This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Grand Estate Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call, 866-823-1077. But I'm really excited for this next segment.
Yes.
This is a couple that Daryl and I met when we went on our vacation for Christmas and New Year's. We went to Grand Cayman, and we met them in Grand Cayman, and they were just, I mean, such a hoot. She, and then, you know, just talking with her, she is a huge foodie. I mean, she loves to cook, and she watches all the cooking shows, and she's just in her kitchen cooking. She just loves it. And you can tell she definitely knows a lot about food. So the next segment is Donna's Delights from Delaware. So Donna, take it away.
You're listening to
Donna's Delights.
Hi, this is Donna Earl Johnson, and I believe life is for living and food is for giving. On Donna's Delights, we take it from the fork to the cork. I'll be sharing my recipes, stories, and philosophies. So I hope you bring your appetite, because we're about to do this. King!
The recipe for the week.
Hi, this is the recipe of the week. The recipe of the week is near and dear to my heart. You know, I call this recipe, I call it Kareem's Dream. It's very simple, it's very home cooked and comforting. And my stepson Kareem loved this recipe. This boy loved it so much that he wanted me to make it for a class project, which I did. I want you ladies to know this, that if you have any stepchildren, know that you are not below the real mom or underneath the real mom. You are the other mother. And when you feed your kids stuff with love, they will always have this gratitude. So this recipe right here is Kareem's Dream. Know this, Kareem, that you'll always be here with me. Even though you're not here physically, you'll always be here with me. So ladies, I hope that this recipe does the trick for your kids. So we're going to start the recipe off. It's very, very simple. What you'll need is 2 pounds of beef kielbasa sausage, 4 potatoes, 1 green pepper, 1 onion, 1/4 cup of olive oil. I use olive oil because of health consciousness. You do not want to use too much oil because you do not want to get heart disease. But if you don't have olive oil, you got to do what you got to do. You got to use some vegetable oil, which is fine, but just don't use too much of it. After that, I get a packet of Saison, which I find in the ethnic aisle. And I love Saison. I go to the border on that. Ding, 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 ding. After I have my Saison, I do use some garlic. My husband tells me not to go overboard with the garlic, but I think the garlic is what gives it the flavor. So once you have all those ingredients, what you're going to do is you're going to chop those kielbasa in bite-sized pieces. You're going to chop that onion up. You're going to chop that potato up. And you're going to mix all that together. Throw in your seasonings. Once those seasonings are all in there, what you're going to do is pour that olive oil all over those potatoes in that mixture. Mix it real well. You got to mix it up. Sometimes mix it up, ladies. Mix it up. So you're going to throw some foil on that bad boy, and then you're going to pop it in the oven for 375 for 1 hour until those potatoes are done. Set that bottle of ketchup on the table because those kids are going to be ready to eat. And that's what I call Kareem's Dream. King! Food for healing. When we were kids, my mom used onion. If you know anything about an onion will cure a cold. What she did was she took that onion and she called it an onion plaster. And it was a disaster because it stunk so bad. What she did was she'll chop up an onion and she would smear vapor rub all over your chest. Take that onion and put it in a towel. Lay it on your chest and then put a long sleeve sweatshirt on you or any type of long sleeve shirt and put you into bed. And for about maybe 15 or 20 minutes, you will begin to sweat. Unbelievable. Water will be pouring off of you. And after that, in the middle of the night, the next morning, you felt 100% better. Even though you went to school smelling like Vicks Vapor Rub and onions, you were cured. And onions really do the trick. They really do.
You're listening to
Donna's Delights.
I can make that at home. I can make that at home. Me and my girlfriend was walking downtown, and we wanted to get something to eat. So what we did was we stopped in this little restaurant, and this restaurant served white chili. And I'm like, they must have took this chili and got it right out, straight out the can. It did had them little tiny pieces in there. And I was like, I don't know about this, but we gonna give it a shot, because I took my good old-fashioned hard-earned money, and I paid for this chili. We went ahead and ate our chili, and I'm tasting this chili, and I'm looking at the chili. I'm like, girl, I can make this at home. I can make this at home. And I knew that I was going to need some ground turkey, and also you would need a green pepper, because I use green peppers, but I love jalapeno peppers, but my husband got a stomach problem, so I try to stay away from spicy foods when it comes down to him. So I use a green onion, because you need a little color in there. I use some coriander, and I also got me some oregano, that Mexican oregano, because they said that's a little bit better than our oregano. So I headed to the border with that, you know, fiesta. Ding, 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 ding. So after that, we went ahead and got that green pepper, chopped it up, and I got me some fresh cilantro. And also, I needed some chicken bouillon. I used 3 packets of chicken bouillon because I like a flavorful soup. And after I got that all together, I got some cannelloni beans. Cannelloni beans, I looked at it, and I can't even spell cannelloni beans. So I thank God that it had kidney beans on the can. So you will need 3 cans of white kidney beans, a.k.a. cannelloni beans. I guess that's that little fancy stuff that they be using all the time. So after that, I got all my ingredients, and I went home, and I went ahead and got it mixed up together. And I dumped the can of rinse. Make sure that you rinse those cannelloni beans, because they will be sticky. It looked like slime in the can. So make sure you rinse those cannelloni beans. So once I rinsed off my cannelloni beans, I dumped those in the pot. I grounded up my ground turkey. I put my cumin in, and I put my coriander in there. And I also had some taco season, because it's already pre-made. So I dumped some taco season in there as well. After I dumped the taco seasoning in there, I dumped it in the pot along with what was going on in my soup. So I dumped my turkey meat in my pot with my cannelloni beans rinsed off. And once they were in the pot, I put the chicken bouillon and I put the onions and the green peppers that I already chopped up, and I dumped all that in the pan. And after I dumped that in the pan, I put some water in the pan, so because you want to get it like a gravy going on. So once that's all cooked up, what you're going to do is you're going to take some cornstarch to thicken it up. So I use maybe like 4 tablespoons of cornstarch. I dumped that in my pot and I thicken it up. And so that's what I made at home. I made that at home. And my girlfriend took a swig of it and she said, girl, you made that at home? Yes, I did. I made that at home. Well, that's all the time I have for now. So join me next week on Donna's Delights. And remember, life is for living and food is for giving.
Whoa. Yeah. Yay, how, Donna.
I know it.
I mean, if that doesn't get you going, what does?
Energy. I know. And it makes it fun. I mean, it's got that sense of fun. And, you know, one of the privileges, of course, of working with you on the show, I get to hear that a little bit ahead of time. And as I played that for my husband, Mark, he was hearing even that first recipe. And I am telling you, for the next 3 or 4 days, all I heard from him was, he actually has the ingredients to make that first recipe that she described. And,
really?
And that's what we are on this big quest to do, because
Kareem's.
It just piques his, yeah, exactly.
It's just amazing.
He doesn't know the name of it again, but yeah, it's pretty easy.
And then the onion and the Vapo rub?
I know,
that was
really?
It was
cracking
And you know, listeners, we should introduce Tracy. Tracy is visiting here in studio, so welcome, Tracy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And you were kind of gesturing as she was talking about the onion mishmash. Is that something that you have tried in the past?
No, it's something that, because of my voice right now, it's actually something that I was reading about last night, different types of natural remedies for throat healing and everything, and I read about something, and I'm not going to remember the details, but it entailed cutting up three onions and cooking them down to where that they were this thick paste, and then I just kind of quit reading because I didn't have three onions in my cupboard. I started looking for other remedies. But yeah, it's funny that I just read about that and she was saying that.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny. Now, just one thing, because you know, when she was talking about the Saison seasoning, have you ever heard of Saison seasoning?
I have not, and that's true.
I never have either. No. I Googled it, and you can make homemade. I guess apparently you can get it in the grocery store. It's at like that Goya. They come in little envelopes.
Okay. Sure.
You know, like in that kind of section?
That packet, yep.
Yeah, that's what it says right here when I Googled it. And it's basically, you can make like your homemade a concoction of it. It's basically a mixture of salt and pepper, garlic powder, oregano, cumin, coriander, and I don't really know how to pronounce this, but, or turmeric.
Oh, okay.
But it has like another name here, ground annatto.
Turmeric sounds easier to make.
Turmeric sounds a lot easier. Yeah. I can recognize that. So it's basically a mixture of that. So kind of like a blend, obviously. So that's what the Saison seasoning is. So
very nice.
So yeah, but very cool.
It does.
Donna, go Donna.
I know it. There's flavor to her descriptions, flavor to the recipes.
Certainly
fantastic.
Got me going.
Absolutely.
I want to go home and cook now.
And they were just like warm, comfort kind of good flavors that she was talking about. I mean, the chili and then that first dish with the kielbasa in it. And what perfect timing.
We had all three of us here.
Yes, exactly. Kielbasa. Courtesy of Carol from Miles Smith Farm. So you take your good, and again, it's all about the ingredients that go into the dish. You got to get good quality ingredients, but yeah, there we go.
Exactly. Well, I think we're going to go on a short break right now, and when we come back, we are going to be in studio with, Dad is in studio with Dad's tips and tricks and family secret recipes and all kinds of stuff. So, again, if you want to give us a call, 866-823-1077. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077. The Pulse.
All right, welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Jeannie Lester. We have a visitor, Tracy, in studio, and we'd also like to welcome Dad.
Hey, how are
you? Hi, Dad.
Very fine afternoon, nice and cold. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Feels good.
We call you George, right?
Yes,
not Dad. We could call you Dad.
George is there. George. That's fine.
Always good to hear from you.
Yep, same here.
Yeah,
very nice. I see it's nice to be sitting here and see all the traffic going on upstairs there from
lots of activity.
In and out. I was saying, usually it's kind of quiet on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. This is different. Monday through Friday.
Everyday realm of real life.
Lunchtime hustle and bustle of the city.
very, very nice.
Dad, what is with your segment? What do you
what do you have
to share with us today?
Well, I'll gradually get a little bit better every week.
You're fantastic.
No, I know. A little story. Carol and I, we can always wing it sometimes. But I didn't wing it. I did a little bit of homework. What I usually try to bring, I get excited with news of food. Mm-hmm. And you don't get the news. You really got to go out and look for it for the food.
Right.
And that's what I try to bring forward to people. Some people go, oh. Because they're not in the food business.
Sure.
You know? Like what's going on right now with the, you hate to give all these names, but the Big Mac McDonald's. Do you see that special sauce they use on their burgers?
No.
They're selling it for $18,000 a bottle.
What?
Now, to me, that's news.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they decided everybody wants to know what's in it. They will never give it. They never divulge it. And so they decide to make 200 bottles of it. Just 200. And one right now is on eBay, and it's up to $21,000.
I'm not sure.
And they're giving all the money to
Yeah.
Good car.
Charity. Oh, okay.
But okay. People are just dying to get the bottle.
Wow.
No, wow. To me, that's totally unbelievable.
Yeah, huh. I'm not sure Big Mac sauce has ever been that important to me.
Me neither. Well, I guess I don't eat enough of them, really, yeah. But I guess it does. Take the pickle out. Maybe I'll like it. You know, I always forget to have the pickle taken out.
Yes.
But, I think it's just the intriguing that they only made so many.
Right.
And people, you know, and they're not divulging the ingredients, I guess.
No, well, you never did. And there's a lot of copycats, but they cannot get it. It is a good thing to have.
It sounds like the backroom special sauce.
Exactly. Same thing.
Do you know about that?
The Puritan
backroom? Do you know the Puritan backroom?
Yes.
They cook their chicken in a special sauce.
Yeah.
And there's only one owner that makes this recipe, and he's like blocked in the kitchen.
Right.
And
really?
When he makes it, no one
can be around.
And you know, to get to the inside of it, it's right here at our home turf. My son Brian worked there when he was young.
Yeah.
And I always tried to find out what the special sauce was, and he couldn't find out.
It was just an
assimilation of some certain cooks. And then now my grandson, Max, worked there. Wow. I says, Brian, Max, keep your eye open. And he told me, he says, Grandpa.
Sending little spies
Grandpa,
in there, yeah.
You can't do it. I says, why? It's made once a week, and I was surprised right here, by the owner. And he had told me the names, that tall guy there. And he's got a 3/4 high wall, so you can't go like this. You
wow.
know he's there.
Wow, yeah.
And he's making his sauce.
Wow.
And only he. Nobody else knows how to make that sauce. And I've tried desperately in my own restaurant to duplicate it.
Everybody tries to duplicate it.
I come close, but close isn't good enough. It doesn't make it. I know there's certain ingredients. You know, there's teriyaki in it, there's flour in it, and such and such. But he's got something. But I find a little of an inconsistency in it. But it's still that. Because we had some the other night, and it was different color.
You know
good.
What it is? When you ask for extra, if they don't cook it
with it, that's the
chicken
key.
Or
right.
the
you
swordfish
exactly
or the
right.
salmon, it's a different color and it's different.
Maxwell did say, and I don't think he could go back on his, you know, they got to protect it. You can't say nothing. He said, Grandpa, it's something that is better when it's cooked with it.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you just, you can buy it.
Wow. You can buy it.
Buy it.
Right
like
by the
quart. $3 for a quart.
You just, yeah, but you have to buy it. You can't
but
make
you
it.
Gotta, and then you have to cook it. I know that. In a restaurant, it's convection ovens. But I did. The temperature's 350, like everybody else. But they're hot. It's fantastic. But all these little things. Can you imagine $18,000 for a bottle?
No.
No.
That's crazy.
I wish I had a family secret recipe that was worth $18,000 a bottle. I mean, really, maybe I could just go through the charade and put up, you know, if I add all this mystery to some ordinary thing that I'm doing and put walls up and not let anybody see and say this is a secret, you could kind of build the intrigue, maybe.
Build the intrigue.
Well, it does. It does. It increases it, that's for sure. Yeah. Because it says here, only 200 bottles are being produced, and the first is currently up for grabs on eBay. That's the first one. If you have nearly $18,000 to blow, that is. Currently, the bid is at $23,000. Oh, that's the other AUD. $18,000. My sister Janine upstairs just said it's 21 today.
Wow.
And it says it's 8 days to go, and all proceeds will go to charity.
Nice, very nice. I like where the proceeds are going. That'd be an interesting Valentine's Day gift, wouldn't it?
And it's saying this is right.
Oh, so you get this like you could wrap it up in like a nice wine bottle or something, and then put it in this thing. She opens it.
If you're Donald Trump's
wife, but you know
wife.
How much I spent for that.
I don't know. Donald Trump's wife,
yeah.
Here you are, Donald.
Yeah.
Like it says here, you might think the price is hefty. But it's supposed to make everything better, including Hungarian goulash, your boyfriend's gross lasagna. Because it all just tastes like a Big Mac.
Wow.
That's funny.
I thought that was an interesting point. So I have quite a few. And like I end up with, I shouldn't go from the beginning to the end. But just make a recipe. I have a thing that I do. I just put things together on my own. Like upstairs in Midtown. Now they're running the George sandwich, you know.
Oh,
the
it's
George.
Something that I have at lunch once in a while, and she saw it, and I'm proud to say it. It's selling like crazy.
Well, that's pretty neat. You got a sandwich named after you, and it's selling.
And there's a little story behind that, too. At Belmont, the years, I'd always do that. I'm Carol's the same way. We go in, we go, we'll take that. You know, I always come in with something, and we go, wow, what's that?
Huh.
And it's just something I put together. Well, I had a certain following over there. I mean, maybe six people. They'd come in and they'd ask, what did George have for lunch? That's what I want. Well, they don't know what I don't care. I just want that. So, see, people.
Ah.
It's always a smaller amount. I don't eat a lot. And it's tasty. That's all.
So as we're trying to perfect our tweeting and getting involved on Twitter, we should send out what George is having for lunch.
I'm always changing.
That's
something like that.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, like today I had a Thanksgiving up there. But I criticize. It's me. I says, no, it should have cranberry sauce in it. But we got the cranberry sauce mixed in with the mayonnaise, which is great. But I felt
it needed some.
I told Brittany, I says, you need some cranberry sauce next time. Try it. Well, people don't like it. I like it. That's not right. I know. You go to Market Basket or Hannaford, you see the cupboards on the shelves, cranberry jellied. And the other one is a lot.
Yeah.
People, I'm trying to bring, I could have cranberry sauce by itself. I really can.
It is good stuff.
Put on anything. So I improved that today, I think.
So you went up there, kind of criticized what they were doing with the sandwich.
Well,
and you got a sandwich named after you?
I'm careful. I'm careful.
I want a sandwich named after me.
Yeah, no. If you come up with something,
that's pretty good.
Do it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the George, I'll be honest with you, but I've been sticking it for quite a while.
Wow.
It's a slice of ham, a slice of turkey with a little hot sauce.
Right.
With cheese and spinach.
Yep.
And panini, of course. You got a panini.
Yeah.
And to me, it's simple. With three quarters of glass.
Well, it's because you do like a variety of things in it.
It's never straightforward.
Us restaurant people, we don't usually order through the girls. We just go out back and make our own.
So in a couple of weeks, will the George sandwich change?
Not the George. I think that's going to stay.
The George is the George.
You know, in fact, the woman up there today, she says, what did you have today? I said, I just kept it boring. I had a Thanksgiving sandwich wrap. That was the girl upstairs on the third floor.
But yeah, like Jeannie said, Dad, you're going to have to tweet every day your lunch so that people know what George is eating.
I know. It is totally different. Totally different. But I should have finished what I started to say. I will end up with a nice meatloaf recipe, something that I've been working on. I keep changing it all the time.
Yeah.
And I call it the... meatloaf on Kennedy Hill Road.
The meatloaf on Kennedy Hill Road.
where I live. Okay. No,
okay.
I know. I do. You know why? I go like this. Here we go.
So yes. Are there other so these secret sauces and things like that? So you just kind of like to experiment and then give your feedback and create a sandwich that way.
I mean, if I really make it a hit, it goes into my recipe book. Someday I'll write a book, but I'm supposed to be working on that for 5 years now. but I have quite a few good ones. I'm the kind of a person that cooks. It's the pot roast. It's the roast pork. I know prime ribs. I still get phone calls at Christmas time. I don't even know who they are. Customers. And you know, and this is so easy. What's your number? I'll text it to you.
Yeah.
And I just send them all out.
Yeah.
But those I have perfected. They're right on the button. I wouldn't even change them for anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to just keep going on and on here.
Well, do you have some more news?
Yeah, I do have some more news. I do.
Maybe a couple more news items.
All right, good. Yeah, let's see. I had touched on this on the previous shows, but I see it's coming back again. There's 11 restaurants now that are banning tips. Guess what's happening next? And it's really catching on, but I think it's good. It's good for the consumer.
So he's talking about restaurants that they're no longer doing. You know, they're no longer giving tips.
And it's starting on the fancy ones.
Yeah.
You know, the high uppers, like restaurants all across the country are doing away with tipping for a variety of reasons, and we're tracking it down. And there's a few of them. There's one here in Chicago. It's legendary restaurant. It's been there for 80 years. Requires that the customers pay for their meals while making their reservations, which you might also call buying a ticket, and that the fee includes the price of the tasting menu with the tax and a 20% tip.
So
see
you
what
pay
they're doing?
Ahead.
It's included. Mm. Yeah, that's what they're doing. And there's one here in San Francisco, just a handful of Bay Area restaurants that don't accept tips. Raise their menu prices by 20%, and it's included. You know, it's still there. And some of them just don't do it. Bar Marco Pittsburgh, starting in April, this popular Pittsburgh spot will be banning all tips and instead will be paying employees a salary with health benefits. Full-time employees will earn $35,000 per year and will also be given stock options in the business. Instead of raising the prices, the restaurant will begin taking reservations, will expand to fill more seats nightly.
Wow.
So like I say, I don't know if this is going to continue, but I've been tracking it.
I don't think it is. I just don't think that we're at that point that restaurants are really going to be tipless.
I'm afraid the service would just drop a little bit.
Of course.
Who cares? I got my tip tonight anyway.
Right. So where's the motivation?
Based on, give me another napkin, please. Right. that's the way I feel on that. But it's been coming up.
Right.
I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see.
And then the new other item is Coca-Cola came out with milk.
Yes.
Coca-Cola came out with milk?
Yes.
It's starting to be on a shelf, I think, in a week or so.
Wait a minute.
Coca-Cola is now buying milk.
Premium milk.
Mm-hmm. To boost declining categories in sales. New York, Coke is coming out with a premium milk that has more protein and less sugar than regular. And it's betting people will pay twice as much because it's going to cost twice as much. It's $3.99 instead of a $2.99 bottle of regular milk.
They're rolling it out
very, very shortly. It comes as people increasingly seek some type of functional boost for their foods and drink.
So Coca-Cola, what, they're going to have like a herd of cows somewhere or something?
No, they contracted with the company here. It says the company.
That's Fair interesting.
Life, Fair Life distributors of milk.
Oh, I just bought some Fair Life.
Okay, there are people going to be putting it on. It's a Coca-Cola product.
I did just buy some Fair Life milk.
It's supposed to have extra protein.
Yeah, less sugar.
No lactose.
And no lactose. Lactose-free. Yeah, I know. It's
and not as much sugar, yeah.
Right, and no antibiotics and no, all that stuff. Yeah.
But yes, you also pay a premium
price. Did you ever notice when you go, like when I went, I needed to get some milk, and did you ever see how many different kinds of milk there is?
Yes.
It's like crazy.
Yes.
There is just, you can sit there for like a good 10, 15, 20 minutes just looking at milk and cream.
I agree.
It's like crazy. It's just crazy, the different kinds of things that there are. Yeah. But I think we need to take a short break. And, Dad, when we come back, we're going to hear your meatloaf recipe.
Sure, we'll do that.
Cool. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. And Tracy is visiting. And we have Dad in studio talking about some restaurant news and information. And now we're going to hear his meatloaf recipe.
Yep.
People love your recipes, Dad. So
good.
Let's hear a.
Yeah, this is, I call this a meatloaf on Kennedy Hill Road. That's where I live. For this here recipe, you will need 1.5 pounds of 80-20 hamburg. I always use 80-20. Burgers are sometimes dropped to 75, but meatloaf is 80-20. You'll start with 2 eggs, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and that can differ either way, but the 1/2 teaspoon is pretty good. 1/2 teaspoon of oregano, 1 teaspoon of granulated onion. That's one thing I found out. You can't put enough of that granulated onion, but 1 teaspoon will do so great. And 1/2 cup of seasoned breadcrumbs, 1 clove of garlic chopped fine. Sometimes I do go to dry. It's fine. The meatloaf, it works good.
Dry what now, Dan?
Just the dry garlic instead of the fine.
Yep.
Because I don't saute this because I'm using the, it's usually I get home and I go, let's make a meatloaf. So it's something I can put this out in 15 minutes and throw it in the oven. Anyways, where I was.
Garlic.
Garlic, a small can. All right. Okay. Yep. Clove garlic, 1 teaspoon of parsley. I'm a parsley freak. And small cans of tomato paste. 1/2 can tomato paste. Add almost 1/2 cup of water and whisk it to lighten it so you can mix all this together.
Oh, with the 1/2 can of tomato paste. Do it first before you put it into the mix.
Yeah. Well, I'll, as I go. Right. Reserve the remainder. Okay.
Of the tomato paste.
Of the tomato, of that half. Now mix all these ingredients, add into the meat, and shape it into a loaf. I use a shallow pan, a quarter pan. Top with a little fancy design of good old Heinz ketchup. A little ziggy-zaggy or whatever, that's what I usually do. It looks good with a little bit more parsley on top.
Sure.
That's the extra touch.
Yeah. And when you do, I always loaf it, and with your hands, you cup it from the bottom, then push it, cup it, and it won't split all up on you. It'll stay pretty well whole. Then, no, I should have done this first. Sorry, that's one mistake. I read it over again the other night, but you always work with a preheated oven. Preheated oven is 350 or 360. My oven runs cool, so it's 360. Put the timer on for 45 minutes. If you do it correctly, you do 30 minutes, and then you check it 15 minutes later. If a sauce is needed, the remainder of that tomato paste mixed with a little water, a little bit of chicken base, not much, I mean a quarter teaspoon, or a chicken stock, okay?
Okay.
And heat and serve, and then you can heat this and serve it on top of your sliced meatloaf. Or a brown sauce, and enjoy.
Wow.
That sounds very good.
It does. I have a couple questions on that. There were two things that you talked about. One, of course, the beef, 80-20 mix.
Yeah.
And is it, because I think some people, when they try to go a little too lean, then you're going to sacrifice
it's dry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How did I go buy it? It must be because I stopped. I did. Now, when it's all ready and you're done with it. Now add my special ingredients, and I've been
I was going to say, there's something you forgot.
I've been changing from time to time.
You're sabotaging us.
No,
here.
All right. Okay. No. Now add my special ingredients in the bottom of the pan.
Yeah.
One can of Dr. Pepper.
Really?
Regular, not diet.
No.
And it never used to be Dr. Pepper.
No, it was Coke.
Right.
I always used Coke sweet.
Yeah, all right.
And I always did it all my life. But the other night, Christopher drinks Dr. Pepper. I didn't have Coke. I says, Dr. Pepper, I'm going, this might come out weird.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Wow.
It was caramelized. I had no trace elements of taste with Dr. Pepper, and I really think it's superior to Coke. Sorry, Coke. But honest to gosh, that was the best meatloaf we've ever had.
So you pour the Dr. Pepper in the middle of the pan, and then you put the meatloaf in.
Right, and you know what I noticed? In the 45 minutes, it caramelized by itself, and there was no Dr. Pepper left. Just, again, trace elements of a little bit of liquid.
Wow.
So the timing is correct. And I'm telling you, that was a great, so much that we really don't eat leftovers. I don't know. I try to, but it doesn't get there when you got a 16-year-old in a house.
Yeah,
don't want
there's
that.
No such thing.
Last night, we had the leftover meatloaf.
Wow.
Well, meatloaf
and it was
sandwiches
just as good.
Are great. Yeah. You know, cold meatloaf sandwiches,
I put it in a fry pan with a little bit of butter, a little olive oil, just to mix. Both sides, and a mashed potato.
Yep.
I have a nice recipe for mashed potato, too. You know, the leftover mash. All I can say is my expression comes out. It was to die for, and it was only meatloaf.
Now, I always took my Coke and put it over.
You can
the
do
loaf.
That, too. Of course,
you know,
of course.
And yeah, then you don't put mustard on with the ketchup on top?
I never did. No. I did. I dropped it. I'm a Heinz snob. You know, I use Heinz.
Heinz
ketchup
and mustard.
Too. You're right.
And then sometimes I even do barbecue sauce.
Carol, you're doing it the way I used to do it, and that's perfect. I just keep variations going a little
right.
bit here.
Yeah.
But I'm anxious to see someone try it with the Dr. Pepper.
That sounds really intriguing. And then the other piece that I'd not heard of before, and maybe I'm not the only one, granulated onion. Tell me what granulated onion is.
It's hard to get
is.
It. You only can get it at, I'm telling you, you can powder. I hate to use powder.
Okay, yeah.
It
they
just
don't
doesn't
have it, like,
destroy.
At the grocery store?
Yeah, you can't get it. No.
Really?
I look everywhere. The only place I get it is Chisco.
Oh.
Granulated onion.
Granulated
it's like
onion.
Working
wow.
with a superior product. It's,
really?
You know? And you can't overdo it.
Oh, I'm on a quest now. It's
yeah,
like
you can't
pieces.
Overdo it.
It's like, really?
Yeah, it's very
so just like it
it's
sounds.
It's
I mean, almost like little.
It's
okay.
Not
but it's
a
crystal, almost like little
onion crystals.
Almost like
someone's salt.
Okay, yeah.
But it's that.
So it's different from minced onion that you find in the spice.
No,
that's not the same thing either.
You can
no.
use the minced. I always work with granulated. All my restaurants always basically work with granulated. And it was so easy. And you can have consistency.
Mm.
So
nice, yeah.
That's
a good
tip. All it's about.
Right. So you're not going to bite into that chunk of onion that
nope.
you got
you
the
really
pieces.
You really go, wow, you know. And how this happened? I have to tell you how it happened. I first started in the restaurants. You know, my uncle showed me what to do. He always used the onions And that's the way I am. I try to do it there, but right now they don't eat onions in my house, so I'm back to where I was. I used to do it at the restaurant, and people would go, they actually go, oh, an onion, or is there onions in that? They ask the waitress. I get so sick and tired, I have to have an alternate. Wow. And I fooled around with powder and all that stuff, and
yeah.
I went to granulated onion, never had a problem. And when they say, is there onion? You will taste onion, but you will not ever see one.
Uh-huh.
And that's all they are. If they see the onion, they're done with it.
That's true. I think it's more of a psychological thing with people like that.
It's psychological.
Yeah, you just made little kids everywhere very happy.
No, you're right. They just will not do it. Put it aside. You only take one more bite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's my take on meatloaf.
Wow. And that perfect time of year to be talking meatloaf, too.
Yeah, it was.
Talk about warm, comfort food. And
yeah, we made it the day of the storm.
No,
I said, all right, we're going to have meatloaf tonight.
Now, do you do anything? You said mashed potatoes. Do you do anything different with your mashed potatoes?
Well, the only thing is I add two eggs on the leftover. Two eggs to it. Two eggs to the meatloaf, the leftover mashed potatoes. And I added, that's when you add the minced onion in it. Because you like to see some of it. Again, not the kids, but, and it goes away quite a bit. Or you can just use my good old granular. But I did. I used minced onion, salt and pepper with two eggs. And the eggs kept it a little bit more solid. So you were able to flip them and they had a
Okay, you did potato pancakes then.
Yeah, well, out of mashed potatoes. Right, in the pan.
Okay, well, you didn't say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I started with those two and then I had the meatloaf on the
side.
So
your leftover mashed potatoes you made into potato
pancakes.
That's
what I did.
Got it. Wow. Yum.
Those are good. Sounds
that was very good. That was good. That was imagine a simple thing like mashed potato and meatloaf.
I know. Yeah.
But there are people like that. It's a comfort food, and, you know, that's what people.
Well, I was thinking of that in Midtown, is bringing that meatloaf in here. Because people, I don't know if it's the building or what, meatloaf, they go like that. But I think if you could do it and put it on that, we have great bread.
Yeah.
Really make it nice and thick with two or three thin ones.
Yeah.
And panini it, maybe with a slice of cheese or something. And you make the price attractive because it's only meatloaf.
Right.
It's very economical.
That's right.
I think it would be another
it would
George.
Fly. Yeah.
George too. Yeah.
Well, at Jay's, one of the popular sandwiches at Jay's Tavern is the meatloaf melt.
Exactly right.
People love that. And it's panini.
It is excellent.
Pretty much what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree.
And people
I
love
agree.
That. So.
And it's interesting because people have distinct feelings on meatloaf. They either, they hate it.
You are right.
And it's funny because I had a friend, and I'm one that I really enjoy meatloaf, and I had a friend that did not. And so what I did was I just baked it in a different shaped pan, and I told them it was meat pie. I think I added a little bit of cheese or something. I was not able to fool this person. But with that recipe, George's recipe, you could make that and maybe convert somebody who thinks that they don't like meatloaf.
Yeah, I think you could. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I've had it, with other people. And another variation is I always did, Carol will be very familiar with that. I always take three or four link sausages.
Mm-hmm.
Some that have been cooked, and I always nip the ends off, and then throw it in the lye machine, and it would just pulverize and mix that in with the meat.
In a what machine? Which?
Oh, well, I call it a food chopper.
Okay.
That's the old
name brand. Food processor.
We call it a lye machine.
Yeah, I still do.
I
know.
I do too.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe they still make them.
And
the reason I dropped it is because I don't have one at home.
It's not
the same if you chop it.
Yeah.
You get pieces again, right?
You don't have one.
We know what you're getting for Valentine's Day.
I have one. It's got about 14 adapters to it, and I can't find all the pieces when I need it.
You know what? I just bought mine at Walmart.
I like
just
a small
a basic.
One. That's all basic. Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
That's going to fit into a topic that I don't know if we'll have time to get to today, but we're going to talk soon about useless kitchen gadgets and more as far as the attachments that come with, you buy this one machine that you think is going to do something for you when really it sort of just takes up space on your counter. And then it comes with all these little parts and compartments that are all packed in cellophane and you don't know what they do anyway. You stick them in the back of the cupboard. You find them 3 years later when you're going to move or do something different and you have no idea where
it
goes to.
Yeah, that's when you say, that's where that piece went.
Yeah.
But they look so great on the commercial.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I can do that. I can do that.
Well,
that's
you.
What gets you into buying
you
it. Yeah. Exactly.
That's how
and then you
is.
Never use the pieces.
I have different things for it. To get them to do one thing is something else. Where's the cover? Where's the lid? Where's the knife?
Right.
That's where we are.
Crazy.
And mine runs from the top. The motor's on the top.
Yeah.
No way.
The wrong design.
Yeah, I just rather not use it. I'll do it with my granulated onion.
There you go. Oh, I'm loving that granulated onion idea.
And it has a good flavor.
All right. Well, that was a great show.
It really was.
We had a nice lesson with Miles Smith Farm.
I know it.
It was very good.
It was.
Donna from Delaware got us all hyped up about cooking.
Certainly. It's been a happy show. We talked about happy cows. We got some good energy from Delaware, from Donna. And we talked some good comfort food with George.
Yep.
That's right.
Perfect day again for it today. Make that meatloaf.
Absolutely.
That's right.
If you have
any
call questions, you call.
And Ken Kale is up next, Kale and Company. And he has quite a few people in that green room.
He's got a major entourage there, or he has people waiting in the wings.
He does.
To,
I think he's
going to
be having music and such. So,
extravaganza.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Kale and Company. And we'll see you tomorrow. Food for Thought will see you tomorrow.